This gets very, very messy.
In a fix over cash for car repairs.
Who gave you the $6,500?
Her father.
And 2 months later, the two of you broke up.
Yes, ma'am.
You left, you took the car, the fixed car.
Right.
But will he make a clean getaway?
Is there any loan money still owed on that car?
We owe $11,000 to the bank.
Oh.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. 22-year-old Shelby Simpkins and her father, Charlie, are suing Shelby's ex-boyfriend, 23-year-old Shane Wright, for car repair and towing fees.
Order. All rise. This is case number 132 on the calendar, the matter of Simpkins versus Wright.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Have a seat, please.
This used to be your boyfriend?
Yes, ma'am.
Not anymore?
Correct.
And this is your father?
Yes.
From what period to what period were you and the defendant involved in a relationship?
We were together for 2.5 years.
And during that time, was he fully employed at all times?
No.
Why not?
He was in prison for 1 year of that.
Pretty sure that's irrelevant.
No, not necessarily. It's relevant to me whether you were employed during that period because this case involves money.
Okay.
That's why I'm here. Because you bought a car.
Yes.
And you bought a car using the plaintiff's money, Ms. Wright's money.
No, ma'am.
At least part of it.
No, ma'am.
Whose money?
It was my money because I was employed when I got out of jail. And that's when we actually got the car together.
In whose name was the car?
Both of ours.
Who put down the down payment?
Me.
Is that right?
Correct.
How much of a down payment?
$1,000.
So he doesn't owe you anything for the car. Is that correct?
Correct.
So this is for the repairs on the car?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Now, when did you and Mr. Wright terminate your relationship?
September of 2013.
And when were the repairs made to your car, Mr. Wright?
It was a couple months before we had broken up.
June, July?
July, 2013.
And how much were the repairs for the car?
It came out to be right around $7,000, so $6,500.
$6,500.
That's around about.
And who gave you the $6,500?
Her father.
Mr. Simpkins?
Yes.
And 2 months later, the two of you broke up?
Yes, ma'am.
And you took the car?
Yes, ma'am.
With you?
Yes, ma'am.
The car titled in your name?
No, we haven't paid the car off yet.
Well, there's a lien on it.
Right.
But in whose name is it registered?
I believe it's registered in both of our names.
In both your names?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So you left, you took the car?
Yes, ma'am.
The fixed car?
Yes, ma'am.
And how were you going to repay Mr. Simpkins?
I had a job at the time. I actually worked at iTech Wealth Solutions, and I did pay every month.
How much?
$800 a month. So a total of $1,600.
And how much did Mr. Simpkins pay to have the car fixed?
Around $6,500.
Right.
Around there.
So what was he supposed to do to get the other money since now you have the car?
We had an agreement that she was going to pay half of it and I was going to pay what I could at the time.
Well, but that was, listen to me,
okay.
Mr. Wright, that was when you were a couple.
Yes, ma'am. And it was
then
actually...
Then you're no longer a couple.
Right.
And that happened 2 months later.
Right.
Well, then she doesn't want to pay. Who are you?
His mother.
So that you can drive around with your mom in the car.
Right.
Or drive around with a new girlfriend in the car.
I understand.
She doesn't want to pay for that, and neither does Mr. Simpkins.
Right.
She said, you know, we're together, we're a couple, I'll pay half, you pay half, and then we'll have a car and a life and a vehicle. But now you have the vehicle and she's got the debt.
She has the car.
Well, not when you separated in September.
Right.
You took the car.
Yes, ma'am.
Now she has the car back. You want to tell me how she got the car back?
Yes. She actually took it from one of my friend's house.
When?
When it was 2 months ago.
And where is the car now?
The vehicle is parked in front of my residence.
Great. Do you have the title for the car?
No.
Who does?
Well, the bank holds the title, but I don't even have the keys. The vehicle isn't running. I had to have it towed to my residence.
That's all right. That's all right. Now, you want out of this car, I assume.
Yes, ma'am.
You want out of this car. You actually owe a lot of money because you took the car.
I've also put a lot of
money in. You took the car, and if it's not running anymore, was it not running anymore because?
It's been a headache. I mean, like, we've taken it. It's just been problems since I've gotten it.
That's not her fault, right?
No, absolutely.
And you were driving the car at the time that it went.
Yes, ma'am.
So you can't ascribe that to her negligence or whatever she was doing to drive around in that car so that after $6,500 worth of repairs, it wasn't running again.
Yes, ma'am.
Right. So you have no objection to signing off your name on the title to that car, do you?
No, ma'am.
Would that be great?
That would be fantastic.
Great. Is there any loan money still owed on that car?
We owe $11,000 to the bank.
Oh. How much is it worth?
Probably, at best, $8,000. We're upside down.
When did you get the car?
We purchased it in February of 2014. 2013, I'm sorry.
Well, I don't know what you want to do. If you want him to sign his name off on the car, you can turn it back in, you can sell it, you can do whatever you want on it. He's more than happy to do that.
My main concern is my father getting paid back the money that he took out of pocket to have the vehicle repaired so he could have a ride to and from work.
No, your father took out that money so that the two of you would have a car.
Because I have my
own vehicle.
Because you
bought this car together.
Right.
That's what you said.
Yes,
you
we did.
And you were a couple. You were going to continue to be a couple. Now, Mr. Simpkins, did you ever have a discussion with Mr. Wright about the repairs on this car? Look at me.
Directly?
Did you directly? I'm talking about directly.
Not directly, but through Shelby.
I'm not interested through Shelby. So you never spoke to him directly?
It was agreed that this was
not. It was agreed, Mr. Simpkins. This isn't the Old West.
I understand.
Either you have a written contract or you have an oral contract. You don't have clearly have a written contract with Mr. Wright. If you did not speak to him directly, then you didn't have an oral contract with him either. Now, if what you're suggesting, Ms. Simpkins, is that you had a conversation while you and Mr. Wright were a couple, I'll hear that. But first, let me make certain you did not have direct conversation with Mr. Wright about these repairs. Is that correct?
Not directly.
That's what I want to know. So now, Ms. Simpkins, you want to tell me your version of how the repairs came about. Car wasn't running, took it to the mechanic, and?
We actually had planned to set the money aside to have the vehicle repaired, because my father was letting us use his car. Well, actually, he was letting Shane drive his car to and from work. Instead of us saving the money, my father said, how about I pay for the repairs up front, and you guys, or you pay me back.
Well, that's a conversation he had with you. He didn't have that with Mr. Wright, according to your father.
I believe he did.
No, that's according to him. He did not have that conversation with Mr. Wright. He had it with you. How about I pay for the repairs and you guys pay me back? And then did you have that discussion with Mr. Wright?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I'm not so sure. Did Ms. Simpkins have a discussion with you that her father was going to lay out this money and we pay him back?
Yes, ma'am.
And what did you say to her?
I said I would pay what I can.
No.
What? Yes,
I don't believe that. What do you mean you pay what you can?
I said, because at the time, Your Honor, she was actually making more money than I was. And I told her that I didn't want the loan to begin with because of the simple fact is that I couldn't pay the loan by myself. And I told her I'll pay what I can. And she said, we will make this work.
I'll pay what I can and we'll
yes.
make this.
We'll make this work. We will get my dad paid off. And I did pay $1,600 towards it.
That's not true. I paid $200 or actually $400. He paid the rest. I have receipts.
Okay.
To whom did you pay the $400?
To my father.
To me.
And you paid $1,600?
Yes, ma'am.
No.
Yes, ma'am.
$1,600 in total. It was $1,600 in total, and I paid $400.
You have any proof that you paid?
No, I've actually been asking her for the receipts for the past five, six months, and she won't send them.
You were together or not together when you made the $800 payments?
We were not together.
You were not together?
No, ma'am.
Well, then it would seem to me that you would pay by check if you were not together.
I was paying in cash every time.
Yes.
I can just say that he wasn't paying in cash because at the time they still had a bank account together. So he was depositing and putting deposits or whatever in there for some of them. I don't know about the whole amount, but for some of that he did do because I had some conversation between Shelby and I.
Well, it would seem to me that what the two of you promised together was that the two of you as a couple would reimburse your father as a couple for the repairs on this car. That's when you were a couple together. And how much in total, Mr. Simpkins, in repairs, did you expend on behalf of these two people?
There were two separate repairs.
Go ahead.
Done on, and the first one was
22, 41, 52,
and the second one was $3,550, I believe.
5741.
Yes.
So if I were to be fair, I would say each of you owe Mr. Simpkins $2,870.
I never agreed to pay for half.
Well, that's my decision.
She was there.
Okay.
That's what I'm telling you. Because that's what you did when you were together, when you were a couple. You had a joint bank account? Put your hand down. You had a joint bank account with him?
Correct.
Yeah, right. So you were playing house. Did you live together?
Yes.
I also had my own bank account, actually.
What?
I had my own bank account.
I don't care whether you had your own one, but you had a joint bank account.
Right.
Right. Now, Look here.
Yes, ma'am.
How much money did you pay him back?
$1,600, ma'am.
That's not true.
I paid $400 out of each check that I got. I paid for a total of 2 months, so that's $800 and $800.
You still owe him $1,270.
Okay, yes, ma'am.
You still owe him $1,270. That's from your half.
When I found out she wasn't holding up her end of the bargain, I thought, you know, why should I keep paying on this if she's not?
Well, right now.
And she has the vehicle.
Right then, at that point, you had the car.
Yes, ma'am.
Right now, she has the car. And you have agreed to sign off on the car.
Yes, ma'am.
Correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Which you will do within 5 days.
Yes,
so that they're going to be able to fix it if they want, sell it if they want, drive it if they want. Somebody has to tell young people, don't buy a car together, a house together, a pet together, take an apartment together, a timeshare together, because we don't have courts to deal with almost marrieds.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's bad enough we have to deal with marrieds and how to divide up their property. This gets very, very messy. And my father would be very distressed to know he sent me to law school for this. You owe her $1,270. Actually, you owe Mr. Simkus that money. You take care of the rest for your father, and within 5 days, you will be signing over the title to the car so that they can dispose of it, and neither one of you are responsible. And your counterclaim for the money that you put in is dismissed.
Yes, ma'am.
Goodbye.
What is our excuse? You may step out.
She said she was supposed to pay half, and I was supposed to pay half.
I have no idea what he spent his money on.
And that was the agreement that we had, so.
One time he got jumped, but that was a lie.
We don't really talk too much anymore, so.
Mixing any type of finances with anybody.
Don't get in relationships.
Not till I'm married, for sure.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Clayton versus Mixon. Step forward.
Amanda Clayton is suing Gerald Mixon Jr. for medical bills after his dog bit her 12-year-old son, Dalton Larry.
Mrs. Clayton, this is your son?
Yes, ma'am.
And Mr. Mixon's dog bit your son?
Yes, ma'am.
And Mr. Mixon says it was your son's fault. So I'm going to let you tell me how it was. What's your first name?
Dalton.
I'm going to let you tell me how it was Dalton's fault that your dog bit him.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
When he went to go take the shot, the dog pulled him and bit me on my right leg, and then the dog bit me on my left leg, and then I was crying and screaming.
Does that sound familiar to you?
No, ma'am.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Amanda Clayton says Gerald Mixon Jr. owes for medical bills after his dog bit her 12-year-old son, Dalton. Gerald claims the attack was Dalton's fault.
Now, tell me when it happened, where you were.
Yes, Shauna.
And your version of the events.
Yes, Shauna. I was walking my dog. We had some contractors at my house.
I don't care about that.
Okay. I was walking my dog.
You were walking your dog.
And they were playing basketball at a friend of his house in the neighborhood.
Okay.
And they were shooting the basketball, and the ball had rolled.
They were playing basketball on the property of one of the children.
Yes.
In the driveway?
In the driveway, yes.
And the ball rolled?
Yes, ma'am.
And?
I told him, I'll retrieve the ball and throw it back to you. And as I was doing that, he had ran up as I was getting the ball, and that's when my dog felt like he was threatened, and that's when my dog had bit him.
Is that what happened?
No, ma'am.
Even at the best of those events, if I believe every word you say, you're responsible for his medical bills.
No, ma'am.
Oh, I'm telling you, you are. That's why we're here. That's why I went to law school and you didn't.
Right.
Get it?
Yes.
Okay. Now, tell me what happened.
Well, me and my two other friends were playing basketball in the driveway, and Mr. Mixon walked up with his two dogs.
With two dogs?
Yes, ma'am.
And they were both on leashes?
Yes, ma'am. And he didn't really have good control of them.
No, just tell me what happened. Don't tell me he controlled.
Yes,
just
ma'am.
Tell me what happened. You're playing basketball. Mr. Mixon walks up
with
his two dogs.
He asked to take a shot, and I had the ball.
Just a second.
Yes, ma'am.
He asked to take a shot.
Yes, ma'am.
Who did he ask to take a shot?
He asked me, because I had the ball at the time.
So you had the ball in your hands?
Yes, ma'am.
And what did he say?
He asked for the ball to take a shot.
And?
And I passed him the ball, and
how did you pass him the ball?
I bounce it to him.
How was he holding the leashes and the ball?
He had the ball in his left hand and the two dogs wrapped around the other hand.
The right hand?
Yes, ma'am.
So he caught the ball with his left hand?
Yes, ma'am.
And?
And when he went to go take the shot, when his arm was up, the dog pulled him and bit me on my right leg, and I pulled away, and I fell, and I caught myself, and then the dog bit me on my left leg, and then I was crying and screaming in the driveway.
Does that sound familiar to you?
No, ma'am. That's not how it happened.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Dalton, you still have the nightmares that
yes,
you reported
ma'am.
To Dr. Kaplan?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you going to see Dr. Kaplan again?
Yes, ma'am.
He has ongoing treatment for PTSD.
I'd like to see.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Amanda Clayton says Gerald Mixon Jr. owes for medical bills after his dog bit her 12-year-old son, Dalton. Gerald claims the attack was Dalton's fault.
You mean it happened because he was running to get the ball?
Yes, ma'am.
He was running to get the ball?
Yes, ma'am. I never once asked to shoot the ball.
Let's say I believe you. You're supposed to have sufficient control of your animals so that this is a non-aggressive maneuver. If he's running to get a ball, which is what he's supposed to because he's playing basketball, you're supposed to have sufficient control of your dogs, especially if your dogs, and I have a sense that the problem was your dog had a propensity for that kind of behavior. You have to have more control. And if you didn't have sufficient control to ensure that it didn't get far enough away from you to cause that kind of bite, two bites, not one, two bites, you're responsible. Do you live in a home?
Yes.
You have homeowner's insurance?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you report this to your homeowner's insurance?
Yes, ma'am, we did.
And what happened?
They were going to pay it, but they said if they tried to sue us, his mother would try to sue us, that then they would drop the homeowner's insurance and then they would not pay her because she was trying to sue me for more than just medical bills.
Well, so what you're saying is you're here because you didn't want to lose your homeowner's insurance?
No, ma'am. That's not why I'm here.
Well, if you had homeowner's insurance, were the dogs covered under your homeowner's insurance?
No, ma'am.
Well, that's a problem. How much were your medical bills?
Altogether, around 250. However, he has ongoing treatment for PTSD.
I'd like to see. What happened to the dog?
Animal control had came out. They put him in the pound for a week.
Did they return him to you?
Yes, ma'am. They deemed him not dangerous.
Shots were up to date?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Dalton, you still have the nightmares that
yes,
you reported
ma'am.
To Dr. Kaplan?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you going to see Dr. Kaplan again?
Yes, ma'am.
At the time of this dog bite, did you have a dog in your house?
Yes, ma'am.
What kind of a dog did you have, Dalton?
Greyhound.
Did you keep the dog?
No, ma'am.
How much after the dog bite did the family find another place for the greyhound?
It was about a month. We contacted the shelter we originally rescued her from. And they informed us to please bring her back so that they could adopt her out to another family.
What was the reason that you sent the dog back?
As greyhounds, they're not raised in a home. So we had gotten her acclimated to our house. However, if she was sleeping and having dreams, if somebody would get close to her, she would growl, wake up, and run away. We moved her because he was having nightmares coming into our bedroom. So we moved her bed into the computer room. She started growling when he walked in the door. Even though she was a part of our family, him being afraid to come into his own house was not fair to him.
Got it.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Want justice? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Okay. Now, I assume that you did not want this to happen.
Yes,
I assume that you didn't anticipate it to happen, but your dog caused injury.
Right.
Not only physical injury, but substantial emotional injury to a child who was not about to forget a double dog bite.
Right.
And sadly, it's your responsibility to take care of it. It's unfortunate that you didn't follow through with your homeowner's insurance. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $5,000. That's all.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
You looked at the apartment and took the apartment immediately because you pretty much had no place else to go.
Correct.
Desperate times called for desperate measures.
It had no kitchen. It had no running water.
Judge Judy.
I rushed over there and got to see him laying on the floor.
Oh, she was just freaking out, you know. And
nothing until I put my finger in their face and said a few explicit words to them.
Like she said, a bunch of explicit words, and that's when I finally said, let's go.
Oh, it's very frightening. Mama Bear definitely came out.
Oh, he was hurt. And that's when I took my dogs home and came back and checked on them.
Their insurance didn't want to do anything. They proceeded to scream stuff out at my child.
If I didn't care, I would have just stayed home and not came and checked back on them.
I think that for my son, that this is exactly what he deserved.
It was just an honest accident, you know.
As he's going to have ongoing treatment for PTSD for a 12-year-old.